can't tell if the chemistry's good by looking at it. It wasn't clear yesterday. For the last time, the saltwater pool is a chlorine pool.
This is the Talking Pools Podcast with pool pros from every region in the country. If it happens in a pool, you'll hear about it here. Everything from tips and hacks to the latest tricks and trends. Breaking news, we lay it on the line. We tell it like it is because we think you deserve to know.
Hey, everybody, it's Heather here on Talking Pools Podcast on Hump Days with Heather. I hope you had an amazing week. I am officially in Florida. I am stoked. We closed on our house. We are moved in. But, oh my God, but I have so much shit. Going from like a 3,000 square foot house down to like 1,600, even though I purged a lot of shit, I still have a lot more shit to get rid of. Like, I've got a whole pile in the living room. I even got rid of like our big stuff, like our sofa, our dining room table. We had two of them, you know, and it's just so much stuff. But nonetheless, I am here. I'm going. I'm not ready to take the horns yet with everything and move completely balls to the wall, because I've still got a lot to do, a lot of unpacking. This is a big adjustment. I will tell you, everybody is so slow here and I am so not slow. So I'm having a real hard time with adjusting to the slowness of everybody. Example, my kid's medicine was called into Walgreens, right? And they picked up the phone four times and then hung up on me, just picked it up and hung up on me. So I'm persistent. Even though Walgreens was only like a mile and a half from my house, I just kept calling. So finally, after 30 minutes of waiting on hold, yes, I said 30 minutes of waiting on hold, I then proceeded to ask the gentleman that answered the phone, hey, are y'all seriously that busy where you can't pick up the phone in 30 minutes? Because that's ridiculous. Like, I don't understand why it's taking you 30 minutes to pick up the phone. And then you picked up the phone four times and then effing hung up on me. I was pissed. So, I also have to wait forever for fast food. So, I moved to a little town in Florida on the east side, just north of Vero Beach and south of Orlando. And there's only, let's see, I've only seen a Taco Bell and KFC, you know, like they're joined together, Wendy's, McDonald's, and that's it. That's the only fast food I've seen. Whenever I went to Taco Bell and KFC, I ordered Taco Bell, hubby and kiddo got KFC. It took 30 minutes to get the food in the drive-thru. I don't understand this. And I'm not exaggerating 30 minutes. Like, we ordered, we pulled up, we paid, we got our drinks, and then they're like, pull up. And so we pull up in a little parking lot, like that happens, no big deal. I'm getting aggravated after 15 minutes. I'm like, this shit is redonkulous. So I walk in there. Oh, well, we just dropped the fries. I'm like, it's been like 15 minutes. You just dropped our fries. Like, that doesn't even make sense, because the kiddo got fries with his chicken from KFC. I'm like, whatever, I'll wait. So I just stood in there, waited. So they gave me everything but the fries. So I take it out to the truck. I'm still waiting. It's like another 10 minutes. I'm like, it doesn't take 10 minutes to cook fries on the fryer. Like, I used to work fast food. It's like 3 to 5 minutes, depending on what setting you have it at, blah, blah, blah. So they give me my whole order again, minus the fries. And he's like, oh, I threw another mashed potatoes in there. And I'm like, that's great. But my kid won't eat mashed potatoes. He wants fries. So again, I'm still going to wait on the fries. Oh, well, you can't just take the mashed chest. I'll take it. My husband will eat it. But my son is not. And I got the fries for my son. So I take that food out and I go back and I wait again. And we're at like another 15 minutes at this point. everybody in the store is getting pissed because I'm not the only one. It's just like, oh God. Anyways, so that's my rant this morning. Hopefully you're listening to it this morning or while you're driving. Anyways, so on this podcast, I want to talk about how to talk about disparity between following through on commitments for yourself versus like your employer or your family or whomever that may be for you. I'm getting a lot of questions asked on how do you stay committed? And hey, Heather, you know, what made you take the leap to Florida? You know, what's going on with your pool business in Dallas? Are you bringing it here? Are you going to work here? What are you doing with your coaching? Speaking of that, I officially passed the CPO instructor. Woo, woo. I'm super excited about that because that was hard as shit to do while I'm moving on a little laptop, driving down the road for classes. It was a hot mess, but I passed. I was able to get it. So I will be coaching, teaching CPI and CPI instructor as well in person, as well as virtual, just FYI. Rudy's going to be helping me with that. So thank you, Rudy and Wayne. I'm sure Wayne will help me as well. But okay, so whenever we talk about following through important versus yourself versus your employee, right? So let's think about this. If you work for somebody else and that person tells you to be at a job at 9 a.m., you're going to be there at 9 a.m., right? If they tell you, hey, I need to swing by the post office and pick up the check, you're going to do that. But when you set yourself up for that, hey, Heather, I need to start working out tomorrow. Guess what? I'm not going to do it. Hey, Heather, I'm going to start my business next week. Guess what? I'm not going to do it. So as individuals, how come we are following through at what other people say and not with ourselves? So you're building somebody else's dream, but you don't want to focus on your own and do your own dream. When are you going to start like waking up and live for yourself and not other people? So I started kind of digging into this philosophy and I came across a Dr. Lisa Johnson. She is a psychiatrist and expert in human behavior. So I started kind of reading a little bit more on human behavior because of my coaching, right? And because of my public speaking, I want to kind of get a little bit more into the human behavior and what it's like and things that I'm missing, right, as an individual and as a coach to better coach my clientele. So with that being said, I want to say, hey, like, why is it that we often prioritize the dreams and goals of others over our own? Like, that's what I really want to understand. Because a lot of my coaches, not coaches, but people that I coach, they tell me, hey, it wasn't this hard when I work for somebody versus when I do it on my own. Obviously, we all know working for yourself is hard in itself, right? Versus getting up, just working your 9 to 8 or whatever times you work versus doing it yourself, right? So I'm like, let's think, Heather, how can I help them? So I found Dr. Lisa Johnson. Feel free to, you know, look her up. I think it's kind of worth it. So I wanted to kind of unpack that statement and be able to communicate with my people that I'm coaching. So it highlights a common phenomenon where individuals display high levels of discipline when committing when it comes to meeting external obligations, but struggle to follow through on their own personal aspirations. So I was like, why does this happen? Well, Dr. Johnson stated that it's a thought-provoking question. Human behavior is complex, and there are several factors that play there. Aspects relates to the sense of accountability with external validation. So when we commit to someone else's request or work with an organization like a company or whatever else, there's often a clear system of accountability. So we as humans, we fear disappointing others, facing consequences, or damaging our reputation. Obviously, as contractors, that's huge, right? We have to hold our reputation, especially if you own your business. And employees, if you're dealing, you know, with an employer, that reputation, that company is on your back because you are the face of that. So whenever you are talking about reputation, we have to commit to somebody else's request to that organization that we work for. Like the reputation, right? You have to be there on time. You have to make sure you're polite with the customers. You have to make sure you're happy. So that system is there to make sure that you have that. But on the other hand, the commitments that we make to ourselves lack the same external pressure, so it makes it easier to postpone them or neglect them. So whenever we talk about postponing and neglecting our own stuff, like Chris and I said we were going to move to Florida 2 years ago. We made it though. It was postponed, but it wasn't for validation for me. It was having the exit plan on the business and or having the business run itself while we're here in Florida. Like, what was our goals? What were we going to do? So essentially, the fear of consequences and the desire to meet social expectations play a significant role in following through on external commitments. So how can we bridge that gap and give our personal goals the same level as importance as we do for people that we work for and that we have to convey that to? So a crucial step in recognizing the value of our dream and our aspirations, you have to recognize that value of your dreams and aspirations, right? When I say our, I mean us as an individual. So we internalize their importance and develop the sense of self-worth and understanding the investment in ourself, and not selfish, but rather a necessary step towards personal fulfillment, right? We have to establish systems of accountability for our personal goals, similar to the encounter of professional settings. The same as if you're going to the office 9 to 8 or whatever that may be, you have to set that accountability. So when I say that, that also may involve finding an accountability partner. Like, we have a whole group that is our accountability partner here at Talking Pools. We all have this big group chat. Anything that we have problems with, whether it's something in the field, whether it's a customer, whether it's dealing with a podcast that we don't really feel comfortable doing, or whether it's a topic that we're like, okay, what should I talk about? What are you getting? You know, whatever. That's that accountability partner. You also want to set deadlines for yourself. Join supportive communities where you can share your processes and challenges. That's very important. Make sure you join those challenges, or even hiring a coach, right? Sometimes hiring a coach helps. Like Rudy, Wayne, we all coach for our industry. I am growing a lot with the classes that I'm starting to take, right? So it's always good to have that accountability. So we often encounter limiting beliefs or self-doubt that hinder our process as human beings. So how can we as human beings and or individuals overcome the psychological barriers? So in Dr. Johnson's report, she stated that limiting beliefs can be major roadblocks on our journey toward personal growth. The first step is to become aware of these beliefs and challenge their validations. So ask yourself, why do you believe you can't achieve the goal? And what evidence do you have to support this negative belief for yourself? And by examining those beliefs, you can start reframing your mindset and replace self-doubt with self-empowering thoughts. Additionally, of course, seeking support from a therapist or a coach, you know, support system, whatever, overcomes those psychological barriers, because it's not always easy to get over. If you're trying to build somebody else's dream versus your own, how do you think that that individual shifts your focus to start living for themselves versus that business? I'm going to say business because that's where most people work for, right? When you think about that, that requires intercepted and a shift in priorities. So firstly, it's crucial to identify and clarify your own dreams and goals. What truly ignites your passion and brings you joy, you have to find that. Like for me, I just love teaching. You know, I love the public speaking. I love helping businesses. I love helping employees and business owners. Like, I just, that's my passion, right? My husband's passion is selling and being on the water. So it's great that we moved here to Florida. But once you have that clear vision, it's time you have to take action. Start by setting small, achievable milestones that align with your aspirations. Break down your goals into manageable steps and celebrate each milestone you reach. That is crucial. Now, don't set a goal, hey, first year, I want to have 10 employees. And then you hit 5. We all know a lot of businesses aren't going to hit 10, right, in the first year. I mean, it's obviously really possible, but set achievable, no doubt goals and then celebrate. each time you hit that milestone, celebrate. You have to celebrate. Another thing that I always tell people is surround yourself with like-minded individuals who support and inspire you to be on your journey. Remember, it's never too late to start living for yourself, because when you have people that support you, you can definitely tell who supports you and who doesn't support you. They have to help you. I get this a lot. So the people in Dallas that I've coached that were actually my employees and I've helped them start their business, or the individual that actually purchased my business and I ran the business that he purchased for a good, I don't know, year and a half, I think. Rough estimate, maybe two. I forget off the top of my head because I don't really keep count. While yes, I agree that was a competition of mine, technically, and technically not, because I got out of that business, right? But I still helped him. I still wanted him to achieve. So he had me as his accountability partner and made sure that he was getting what he was supposed to be getting out of it. So that's my tidbit for this week. I hope you hold yourself accountable, and I hope you start reaching your goals and understanding what your goals are. Until next week, I'll talk to you soon. Bye, guys and gals.
I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for listening today. I'm hoping you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. Listen, it's been a couple of wacky, crazy, screwed up years, from pandemic to Poolmageddon. I just want you to know that we are all in this together. If there's anything that we can do for you, send me an email at talkingpools@gmail.com. Again, that's talkingpools@gmail.com. We're here. This is your podcast. We are the Pool People's Podcast, of the pool people, for the pool people, by the pool people's body. Podcast. This one is about you. So thank you for tuning in and listening. Do me a favor, click subscribe before you go. That way you don't miss an episode.